Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we keep laughing with vintage radio comedian Bob Hope. First, we have a show sponsored by Pepsodent, broadcast from Bob Hope's hometown of Cleveland. There's some funny material about flying, which was very new for the public at that time, and a sketch about Bob's early life. The Ohio governor also appears on the show. Enjoy the Bob Hope Show, first broadcast March 19th, 1946 on NBC.
For the safety of your smile, use Pepsodent twice a day. See your dentist twice a year. Tonight from his hometown, Cleveland, Ohio, we bring you the Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope. Thank you, well-fed relatives. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Bob back in his hometown of Cleveland Hope telling you folks in Ohio to use Pepsodent. Your teeth will never look worn. You'll always be able to chew a lime, and after you start dating, you'll soon be marrying. It'll be a good alliance because there won't be any tiffin. Yes, sir. And I hope you see their point. It's all local, but this is my hometown. Well, here I am in my hometown, Cleveland. Cleveland is all decorated for the sesquicentennial. Nice way of cleaning your teeth. Yes, sir, there are signs everywhere saying 150 years old, and I'm still trying to catch the guy who put them all under my picture. We had a wonderful plane trip in here on the Constellation that's Buck Rogers' dream come true. We came across in the stratosphere. In fact, we were so high, W.C. Fields flew escort for us all the way to Kansas City. What a trip. Over the Rockies, the stewardess served lunch. I said, why peppermint sticks for lunch? He said, that's celery. Your nose is bleeding. And once I looked out of the window and I saw a guy floating by in midair. I said, hey, what are you doing out there without a parachute? And he said, I don't need one. I'm Ray Milland. But I had a wonderful trip. I didn't feel a thing until we landed at Cleveland and the stewardess helped me out from under my seat. When we flew in over the city and I saw Cleveland, a lump came in my throat. It was that apple I tried to swallow over Albuquerque. But I want to tell you that Constellation has got every accommodation. In fact, when you're ready for breakfast, you stick your hand out the window and an eagle lays a fresh egg in it. The pilot kept saying the plane was as comfortable as your living room, and he was right, although I did feel sorry for the saxophone player who opened the door and stepped out after the milk. And when we arrived here in Cleveland, what crowds at the airport? The police had the ropes up, but I demanded a trial first. This old town of Cleveland. Somehow, even the wind off the lake doesn't seem as cold as it used to be. Of course, I've got underwear now. I've got a brother here in the wholesale meat business. He had trouble with shortages, but he's getting plenty of meat now. The Cleveland Indians are selling him all their old ball players. And if Tris Speaker's listening, I'm only kidding. A good portion of my family still lives in Ohio. I got a brother doing fine down at Canton and another one doing five at Columbus. When I left Cleveland 10 years ago, my father said I would go a long way. In fact, he nailed the door of the boxcar shut just to make sure. Well, I lived in a neighborhood here where the people were poorer than church mice. And you know, church mice used to be awfully poor until Crosby made Going My Way. I like that personally. And I went back and paid a visit to my old schoolroom and sat in my old desk. And there was the same old inkwell, the same old books, and the same old shaving kit. Me out of Fairmont School, though. In fact, on my old desk is a bronze plaque that said, Bob Hope slept here.
Wartime restrictions are ending. Now the toothpaste you wanted is here. It's a new, better-than-ever Pepsodent toothpaste with twice as much irium. This new Pepsodent has a wonderfully refreshing taste, a cleaner, brighter taste that means cleaner, brighter teeth. This new Pepsodent with twice as much irium cleans teeth better, cleans better between teeth, makes your breath cleaner, fresher too. You've never had a finer toothpaste, and never an introductory value like this.
Right now, you can get two tubes of new post-war Pepsodent for only 29 cents. Yes, two 25-cent tubes. A 50-cent value for only 29 cents.
Get this new Pepsodent. Compare it with any toothpaste you've used before. Compare its taste. Compare results. See how quickly, how safely this new Pepsodent with twice as much irium removes the film that makes your teeth look dull. See how new Pepsodent cleans teeth better. Cleans better between teeth, too. See how fresh it makes your whole mouth feel.
Compare it now during the sensational introductory offer. Get two 25-cent tubes of new, improved Pepsodent for only 29 cents. A 50-cent value for only 29 cents. Don't delay.
Here comes Ginny Adams, our boy.
Oh, you won't be satisfied until you break my heart. You're never satisfied until the teardrops start. I tried to shower you with loving kisses, but all I ever get from you is nagging and bragging. My poor heart is nagging the way you toss my heart around. The crying shame. I bet you wouldn't like it if I did the same. You're only happy tearing all my dreams apart. Oh, you won't be satisfied until you break my heart. Dreams apart, or you won't be satisfied until you break my heart.
Yes, sir. That was You Won't Be Satisfied, sung by Skinny Ennis, the only singer in radio who can make one lung sound like none. Edgar, step in. What did you think of that fast flight in from Los Angeles on the Constellation this morning?
Man, we came in so fast, I didn't even have time to take a breath.
Well, that didn't make any difference. Today wasn't your day to breathe anyway, was it? Huh? You know, but it's almost unbelievable, Skinny, that the Constellation could bring us from Los Angeles here in 11 hours and 40 minutes.
Bob, it didn't take 11 hours and 40 minutes, did it?
Oh, yeah. 7 hours from California to Cleveland and 4 hours through traffic from the airport to the Carter Hotel. It in the bus I was in. Anyway, say, how did you like your accommodations on the Constellation coming in?
Well, not bad, but I was a little cramped.
Cramped? You shouldn't have been. I thought you'd be very comfortable in there.
Yeah, but those golf clubs take up a lot of room in the bag, too.
Can't understand it. I took the putter out. By the way, Skin. Say, while we're in Cleveland, I'd like to show you the street I was born on.
Street? What's the matter? Couldn't you afford a hospital?
Well, in those days, they had long traffic signals. But you know, Skin... They even named a street after me here in Cleveland.
Well, so what? They named a street after me in North Carolina, too.
I know, but mine's not a dead end.
Man, how can you stand there with your hat off and say that?
How can you stand with your hat off? Well, shut my face, boy.
Hello, Skinny.
Well, Francis Langford, look at her. What did you say?
I said, hello, Lester.
Lester?
Yes.
Never let you look at my family album again. Well, Francis, Skinny and I were just talking about the trip on the Constellation. Wasn't it wonderful?
I thought so, but surely you didn't have much fun pouting all the way.
Well, you'd have pouted, too.
Oh, Bob, the pilot couldn't open a window just so you could hold your paper windmill out. See, Bob, I meant to ask you... Were your folks glad to see you?
Not particularly, Francis. They were just as happy getting it through the mail. I send the big tube every week, you know. But I got a great thrill getting off the plane at the airport and seeing Major Barry and seeing all those people out there.
Well, I imagine so, but weren't you carrying it a little too far, running up and kissing that one man?
Well, you wouldn't understand, Francis. You didn't have a draft for it. He was the mayor. Wasn't it nice of him to give me the keys to the city?
Yes, he said that would be best.
He thought that would be best?
Mm-hmm. After you left last time, it was so much trouble digging those hairpins out of all the locks.
That shouldn't have been me. I'm a paperclip man.
Well, it must have been interesting looking up the old landmarks you used to know.
Yeah, it's too bad so many of them are married. Francis, where are you staying?
Oh, I'm stopping at the Carter Hotel, Bob.
Oh, really? Well, I'm stopping at the Carter, too.
I know, but they gave me a room.
Oh, well, what do I care? The janitor's a pretty good gin rummy player. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's a real pleasure now to bring you a friend of mine, a former golf partner, and one of the outstanding political figures of our state of Ohio, the governor, His Excellency Frank J. Lausche.
Thanks, Bob, and thank you, Democrats.
Welcome to the Pepsodent Show, Governor.
Thank you, Bob, and I could only say it's a pleasure for me to appear with one of America's most talented personalities.
No wonder this guy's governor. Oh, you didn't have to say that, Governor.
I know, Bob, but in my business, a vote is a vote.
You must really be popular here. I even saw a Republican applauding.
I'm amazed. You saw a Republican applauding.
Well, he wasn't exactly applauding. He was clicking two bricker buttons together. But, Governor, I tell you, it was really decent of you to consent to appear in our program.
It's all right, Bob. I don't run for re-election until next fall, and by that time, the public might forget.
You bring a writer up from Columbus with you, kid? By the way, Governor, don't you think that you could find me some sort of a political job? You know, radio is pretty shaky, and you never know when the sponsor's liable to turn the power off, you know.
Well, right at the moment, Bob...
Well, I don't mean anything big, Governor. Just a little something in the day coach of the official gravy train. Sort of a small pig's knuckle in the old pork barrel, huh? For instance, how about me going to banquets with you and sneering back at the Republicans?
Bob, please, you have the wrong idea entirely. In Ohio, we always play ball with the Republicans.
You play ball with the Republicans?
Yes, of course. We make sure they don't spend too much time up at bat. But, Bob, you haven't lived in Cleveland for 10 years, have you?
No, I haven't.
And you've made pretty good money now, don't you?
Well, not bad. What about it?
Well, Bob, I have a lot of influence, but I regret to say, after this year, I'll have to stop your relief check.
Well, summer's coming, and I can always reopen my frozen custard booth at Euclid Beach, anyway. Governor, tell me confidentially, is that rumor true that you have ambitions to get to the White House?
Why, Bob, how could a rumor like that ever start?
Last week, a piano teacher was seen sneaking in your back door.
Bob, I guess you've been pretty busy since you arrived here, haven't you?
Yes, I haven't even had time to see my old home.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, Bob. But I guess they haven't told you.
Tell me about what?
Our recent slum clearance program.
I could always go to my country home in Warrensville. It's all.
Tell me,
That's
Bob.
The local Riviera, folks.
Are you going to be here for the National Golf Open at Canterbury?
Oh, no, you don't, Gov. You can't rope me into a game after that last game we played.
Oh, I see. You're just jealous because I won,
Well,
eh?
No wonder. You can't beat a governor.
What do you mean by that?
Well, when I made that hole-in-one, the police commissioner ran over, shoved a machine gun in my face, and said, "What a wonderful shot the governor just made. Now let's see what you can do."
More than I can stand, I give up. Well, Bob, I want to thank you sincerely for bringing your show back here to Cleveland, and to add another word of thanks for the many things you've done to improve the city of Cleveland.
Oh, well, that's very sweet, Governor, but wait a minute. What improvement did I make? I left Cleveland in 1928.
Well, that doesn't leave much for me to say. You asked the question and answered it, too.
Yeah.
Yes, I do to me.
pilot.
Yes, with wartime restrictions ending, the new toothpaste you wanted is here. It's the better-than-ever new Pepsodent toothpaste with a cleaner, brighter taste that means cleaner, brighter teeth. This wonderfully refreshing new Pepsodent contains twice as much irium, the exclusive cleansing ingredient that only Pepsodent can give you. You've never had a finer toothpaste, and never an introductory value like this.
Right now, you can get two tubes of new post-war Pepsodent for only 29 cents. Yes, two 25-cent tubes, a 50-cent value for only 29 cents.
Get it, compare it with any toothpaste you've used before. See how quickly, how safely, this new Pepsodent with twice as much irium removes the film that makes your teeth look dull. See how it cleans teeth better. Cleans better between teeth. Makes your breath cleaner, fresher, too. Compare it now while you can get two 25-cent tubes of new Pepsodent toothpaste for only 29 cents. This introductory offer is limited, so act at once. Ladies and gentlemen, in honoring Cleveland's sesquicentennial, we had planned to give you a botany playlist tonight, but upon arriving here and learning that a sesquicentennial is not a flower, Bob decided to change at the last minute, so we will now present some episodes from the early life of Bob Hope, or Nature Strikes Back. We take you back to the night of May 23rd, 1911. The stork is winging its way through the sky above Cleveland.
Darn that soft coal.
When Papa Hope comes home from work, he peeks at little Robert lying in his crib and says happily,
well, what do you know, a swordfish.
But little Robert showed early signs of becoming a child prodigy. It was really a surprise to his parents, and without warning, he uttered his first word.
Da-da, da-da. Isn't that wonderful, Father? And just think, he's only 14.
Finally, at the age of 16, Bob Hope teams up with another kid and goes into vaudeville.
Tell me, Mr. Bones, what's a cow?
What's a cow?
You heard me, what's a cow?
That's a horse that's going bowling.
And Bob grew up and went out to Hollywood to win fame and fortune, but he never forgot his folks. Each week, he sends them a box of apples, which they sell on the corner of Prospect and Ontario. And now we find Bob's parents in Cleveland, Ohio, living in the little house that Bob built for them.
The rain will soon stop, Ma. Keep treading water.
Can't understand it, Paul. The roof never leaked before.
Well, I was up there yesterday and forgot to screw the cap on it. Gee, I sure wish we'd get a letter from our son, Robert.
What for, Paul? There's never anything in them but writing. What's doing out in Hollywood now?
Same old thing, I guess.
Oh, really? That's odd. I heard he got a job. About time you took your exercise, ain't it, Paul?
Yeah, I guess so, Ma. Here goes. Okay, now for the toes and the other foot.
Paul, oh, the mortgage is due today. If our son Robert don't get here with the $10,000, we'll lose the old homestead.
Well, what of it, Ma? If we get kicked out, all we got to do is go around any apartment building and rent an apartment.
Yeah. That's right, Pa. There's lots of vacant places around.
Yeah, gee, that was fun, Ma. Now, this time you light up and blow the smoke in my face. Don't you worry, Ma. Our son Robert will get here with the money.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. There must be a party line. There's a horse on the phone.
Kelowna, are you the banker?
Right. J. Vance Swearingen, Kelowna. Railroads consolidated, bands amalgamated. Also, butter sold at midnight under the high-level bridge.
Well, listen, Kelowna, my son sent me a check last week that should have covered it. How much was his check for?
I can't tell.
You can't tell?
No, hasn't stopped bouncing yet.
You know, Professor, for a banker, you sound a little jerky.
Well, I'm chilly, Hope. I spent all day in the Frigidaire.
What were you doing in the Frigidaire?
Figuring up frozen assets. It's no use pleading. Get the mortgage money and have it at your house tonight. I'll be there at 6 with the hot needles and firing squad.
You're really money mad.
Well, you see, Hope, I want all the things I never had as a child. Wine, women, and a mink string for my yo-yo.
Kelowna, tell me, how can you be so tight?
Easy, Hope. Every morning, alum on my Wheaties.
Kelowna? We haven't got the money to pay the mortgage. What are you going to do to us?
Well, don't worry about a thing. There's a man right here in the bank now explaining why he can't pay his mortgage. And he isn't the least bit nervous about it. Of course, he stutters a bit.
But now, will Bob Hope Jr. arrive in time to save the family homestead? Will Professor Colonna's mustache get back from the dry cleaners before Wednesday? Will a sponsor put up with this kind of a program much longer? Keep tuned in and try and find out. We now take you to the cabin of a speedy constellation. Bob Hope is forward, anxiously talking to the pilot.
Are you sure we're going to make it, pilot? I've got to get there for the mortgage. We got enough gas?
Enough gas? We've been out of gas since Chicago.
Out of gas since Chicago? What have we been flying on?
Never mind that. Just keep talking.
I won't have enough gas to land. You better bail out.
Okay, I've got the parachute on.
Don't forget, jump. Count to 10, then pull the ripcord.
Okay, here I go, Geronimo.
1, 2, 3. My house right over here, Skin. You can do these things in radio. I'll go in and surprise Ma.
Well, lousy sakes, it's son Robert come home with the mortgage money.
The mortgage money? What mortgage money? Hey, Ma, I got money. Let me back in.
You're just in time. Banker Colonna's foreclosing the mortgage. We can't pay.
Well, if you can't pay the mortgage, then I'll have to take your daughter with me.
Colonna, there are no girls in the family, and put me down. Besides, Colonna, where's your heart? Don't you know that the quality of mercy is not strained?
What's that?
The quality of mercy is not strained. What do you say to that?
Makes it pretty lumpy, doesn't it?
Listen, we shouldn't be discussing this in front of the old folks. We'll go over to your office. Where is it?
Over in Astor.
Beulah?
Glad to know you, Beulah. I'm Colonna.
You're going to pull this kind of stuff at Higby's tomorrow at 3, huh? Colonna, why aren't you a sporting man about this mortgage? We'll duel for the mortgage.
All right, so. We'd better hurry or I'll be working with Red Skelton.
Where is that? Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'll just take this .45 revolver, and you lucky man, take this bow and arrow.
Sounds like a fair arrangement. Ready.
Ready. I'll count three. 1, 2, 3.
Ow! Didn't know I was a Cleveland Indian.
All thanks to memory of being asked to share in this great big affair. From coast to coast, no better host than the American Legionnaire. And we thank you so much.
Thanks to Governor Frank J. Lausche and all you Clevelanders for being with us tonight. You were wonderful. Governor, you were great, really. Also, I'd like to say thanks again to Captain Pat Gallup, Chief of Operations for TWA, and that wonderful crew for making our trip in the Lockheed Constellation so delightful.
Excuse me, Bob. A man whose name has long been identified with aiding humanity, Mr. Basil O'Connor, the national chairman of the American Red Cross, is waiting in Washington to say a few words. Mr. Basil O'Connor.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Bob Hope was also famous for movies and TV, and he became an American institution. In the next episode, he celebrates another American institution, the game of baseball. This show is sponsored by Swan Soap. It was broadcast from New York after the World Series of 1949, called a Subway Series because two New York City teams competed. The Dodgers were still in Brooklyn then. They moved to Los Angeles in 1957, and they played the New York Yankees across town. Jackie Robinson appears on this show along with Yankee Joe Page. Jackie Robinson was named the National League's most valuable player later that year, which was when he said he planned to leave baseball because of the tremendous strain that racism had put upon him. Thank goodness for the great American sport that he reconsidered and carried on his career in baseball. This is the Bob Hope Show, first broadcast October 11th, 1949 on NBC.
From New York City, for Swan Soap, it's Bob Hope. Transcribed with Doris Day, Jack Kirkwood, Irene Ryan, yours truly, Hi Everback, and Les Brown and his band of renown. And here he is, the man who came to New York to win a bundle on the series and is now doing his own laundry, Bob Hope!
Thank you very much. Thank you. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob World Series Hope. Telling you whether you're young girls or old codgers, please help me by using Swan to launder your bloomers and shorts. I just lost mine in the Dodgers. Thank you. Well, here we are in New York. I flew in to see the World Series. We observed 1 minute silence over Cleveland. What a World Series. Two Russians got off the boat and saw the headline, Bums Tangled with Yanks. One turned to the other and said, Comrade, the hour is struck. I was really interested in the World Series. After all, I've been a Dodger all my life. You have to be to stay alive in this racket. And it was a Subway Series. Subway Series, that means you breathe in Manhattan and breathe out in Brooklyn. And what crowd's going to the game? A sardine got on the subway at 42nd Street. You had to get off at 49th. He said, I simply can't do it without oil. Yes, sir, it was so crowded I lost my seat. Luckily, it was an old suit. But I had a nice... But I had a nice seat for the games on the west side of the park. I don't know how far west I was, but the guy next to me was roping a steer. I thought my seat had been upholstered. Then I found out I was sitting between Kate Smith and Kate Smith. It was nice, but I couldn't see the foul lines. Yes, sir, I stopped off in Washington on the way in. Washington, that's a financial expression, meaning there will always be an England. And the, Thank you. And the Washington columnists tell me that gossip is becoming harder to get. Winchell sat at a keyhole for a week and then found out he was watching Drew Pearson's left eye. But I love New York. I went to Madison Square Garden the other night, saw the fights. Ingrid Bergman sat next to me. She was yelling for a decision. Then I know Ingrid's got a tough decision to make. After all, you can't have your pizza and eat it, too. And Jack Benny's in town for the series. He took me out for dinner last night to the Automat. We had tomato juice, a shrimp cocktail, and green salad, and then the string broke on his nickel. And there are a lot of celebrities here in town. I saw Ali Khan going to see South Pacific. He had a ticket. He was all alone. He had to use Rita as a down payment. Ezio Pinza's really terrific in South Pacific. Yes, sir, Pinza sings like Crosby before Saratan set in. And you know, I can just see what's going to happen when Hollywood makes its version of South Pacific. It'll open with Sidney Greenstreet singing Bally High. And for the finale, instead of Mary Martin doing, I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair. They'll have General MacArthur luxing his undies.
Well, friends, if your present brand of soap helps get you clean, you may assume you're getting your money's worth. But the first time you bathe with Swan soap, you'll find out you've been missing something. For this newer, better white floating soap has a wonderful new free sudsing action that turns a routine bath into a luxurious beauty treatment. In hard or soft water, Swan's marvelous free sudsing action foams up into a rich, creamy lather that caresses your skin, making short work of dirt, dust, and grime, and leaves your face, hands, and body feeling soft and smooth as velvet. It's that mild, pure Swan lather that makes Swan soap such a joy for baby's bath, too. So safe for your most delicate washables. Yes, and such a miracle for dishes. Those superactive Swan suds whip through dishes so fast, you're out of the kitchen almost before you start. See the difference for yourself. Switch today to Swan, the new, better white floating soap with that wonderful free sudsing action for face, hands, bath, and dishes. You'll be mighty glad you did.
My good friend Jack Norworth will never be forgotten for this next classic, now done by the Four Hits and a Miss, yours truly in our Swan Doll of Song, Miss Doris Day, ladies and gentlemen.
Ball game. Take me out with the crowd.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team.
If they don't win, it's a shame.
For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Game. Take me out with a crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root,
root, root for the home team.
If they don't win, it's a shame.
For it's one,
one,
two,
two,
three strikes, you're out
at the old ball game.
Root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back.
Let me root, root, root for the home team.
If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one,
one,
two, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball.
Wanna be there
ball.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bob promised Doris Day that when they got to New York, he'd take her to see the World Series. We now find them watching the Yankees and Dodgers battling it out in a crucial game.
Gee, Doris, aren't you excited seeing the series?
Oh, yeah, but somehow I thought it would be different.
Oh, I think it's swell.
Hey, buddy.
What?
Why can't you watch a game like the other people?
The other people?
Yeah. They're satisfied to stand out on the sidewalk and watch the television. You gotta get right in my window.
Why should the people outside complain? After all, the set has a 16-inch screen.
Yeah, but they gotta watch it through that one-inch hole in your head.
Now, Bob, after all, the man needs this window for displaying his electrical goods.
Yeah. I don't mind saving you $20 on baseball tickets, but between innings, do you have to wash out your socks and the Bendix? You've been eating hot dogs, too.
Hot dogs? How do you know?
I emptied the vacuum cleaner yesterday, and Hoover was wearing a weenie skin for a collar.
Oh, no Republican is well-dressed nowadays. Look, mister. You're making me miss the game. Hey, look at that. I didn't know the Dodgers wore yellow uniforms.
They don't. You got mustard on the screen.
Look, buddy, don't think you're doing me such a favor. Come on, Doris, let's get out of here.
Gee, Bob, do you mean it? Are you really going to buy tickets so we can actually go to the game?
Yeah.
Oh, but the tickets are so scarce. How can you get any?
Doris, I've got influence. Did you forget that I'm part owner of the Cleveland Indians? They can get me in.
How can they get you in the game? They can't even get back into Cleveland.
Just because you're from Cincinnati, huh? Never mind, Doris. I'll get tickets. I heard of a ticket agent named Broadway Benny. I bet he'll take care of me. Let's go.
Now, Bob, we're going to take a cab.
That's our answer to the Lux Show. Isn't that great?
Now, Bob, we're going to take a cab, even if you are afraid to ride in them.
But, Doris, this New York traffic and these Manhattan cab drivers, it's dangerous.
Don't be such a coward. Bob, these cab drivers know what they're doing.
Taxi, mister?
Yeah, but wait a minute. Are you a careful driver?
Oh, yes. You'll be perfectly safe with me. Get right in.
Hey, now, wait a second. You're in the back seat with us.
Darn it, without my glasses, I can't tell the back from the front.
We're going to do great with this guy. Come here, boy. How many fingers am I holding up? Count them. Well?
Now, don't brush me. First, I got to find your legs and work my way up.
Well, get up in the front, mister, and let's get going.
Okay.
Well, what'd you stop for, driver?
I have to get out and feel around for the white line.
Have a blood transfusion from an umpire?
Well, I've always been nearsighted. You see, for 3 years after I was born, my mother kept me in the dark.
She kept you in the dark?
Oh, she didn't mean to. She was nearsighted, too, and she used to get my diaper on the wrong end.
Get back in and let's get started.
All right.
Now where did he go?
Help! Let me out of here! That makes me so mad. I'll bet I shut myself in that glove compartment 4 times a day.
What's the matter now?
There's something on the front of the hood. What is it?
A bellboy. We're in the lobby of the Waldorf Astoria.
Without my glasses, I can't see a thing.
Bob, let's leave him here and find Honest Benny's ticket agency. Why is it when you do something, it always turns...
Hello, Doris. Mr. Howell.
Well, Miss Ryan. Miss Ryan, and you're all dressed up.
Yes, I'll bet you're taking New York by storm.
Well, no, Doris, it didn't turn out that way. I guess I'm just unlucky. Other girls here seem to wind up with champagne and Victor Mature.
And you?
A short beer and Mighty Joe Young.
I'm looking for a ticket agent named Honest Broadway Benny.
Oh, well, he's right here in the hotel. He got me into the game.
He did?
Yes, I played it smart, though. I saw a blonde walk in and smile at him, and he gave her a seat right in the grandstand.
Oh, really?
Yes. So right after that, I walked in and gave him a big smile, too.
Well, are you in the grandstand?
No, someplace called the bullpen. Bye now. I'll see you later.
Doris, let's talk to that ticket agent. Well, here's the office. It says
Honest Broadway Benny. Tickets for anything. Oh, pardon me. Are you Honest Benny?
That's right, boy. Come right in.
Well, thank you.
Make yourself comfortable. Take off your hat and wallet. Well, what can I do for you, boy?
Wait a minute. What's the idea of calling me boy?
Oh, I don't know. I saw you wearing trousers, so I took a chance.
Look, are you the owner of this ticket agency?
Yep, that's right. That's me, Broadway Benny in the flesh.
Looks like you got a traffic jam around Times Square there.
You've got quite a crowd in Central Park yourself.
I don't like this whole thing. I smell a rat.
I know, that cat's getting lazier every day. Hello, folks, I just was fooling around here. I got two tickets for you right on the first baseline. That'll be $20.
Oh, gee, thanks. Here you are. Come on, Dorothy.
Oh, gee, Bob, you kept your promise after all. Here we are on the way to the ball game. I'm so grateful to you.
Yeah, well, look, Doris, we're just going into the Holland Tunnel. Would you mind if I gave you a little kiss?
Oh, gosh, no. Go ahead.
Gee, somehow I thought it would be different.
Without my glasses, I can't see a thing.
Seattle, Washington.
New Orleans, Louisiana.
Bangor, Maine.
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Roanoke, Virginia. And lots more.
Lots more what, hi?
Cities and towns all over the country have written in for the wonderful CARE Swan Group Kit.
Yes, and in many cases, CARE has received requests from a great many different groups in the same city.
Well, that's swell, Doris. It means that church, school, and charitable organizations, business, social, and fraternal groups, and clubs of all kinds are all working together to help those needy children overseas get the soap they want so badly.
Friends, has your organization obtained its soap campaign participation material yet? It's free for the asking. Just drop a note to CARE, Soap Campaign, Box 8, Cambridge, Massachusetts.
This complete Swan CARE group kit will really be a great help to your organization, friends, because it contains just about everything you can think of to help you collect swan wrappers all over town. Prepared speeches, program material, important facts, and a special CARE certificate made out to your own organization, plus an individual CARE lapel pin for each of your members. Write for this group kit today to CARE Soap Campaign, Box 8, Cambridge, Massachusetts.
But remember, you don't have to be a member of a group to help those needy children overseas. As an individual, you can send your wrappers direct to CARE in Boston. For every two wrappers you send in, CARE will speed a regular-sized cake of Swan to some needy child overseas. Yes, a regular-sized cake of Swan. The same newer, better white floating soap with that wonderful free sudsing action. The same wonderful Swan you yourself use for face, hands, bath, and dishes.
So don't delay, folks. Write today for your CARE Swan Group Kit to CARE Soap Campaign, P.O. Box 8, Cambridge, Massachusetts. And keep on sending your Swan wrappers regularly to CARE Boston 1, Massachusetts. And don't forget to buy CARE food packages, too, and send them to needy families through CARE.
Remember that address, friends. For the special group kit, write to CARE Post Office Box 8, Cambridge, Massachusetts. And to speed cakes of free sudsing Swan soap overseas, send your Swan wrappers to CARE, Boston 1, Massachusetts. What All America is Talking About.
This week, All America is talking about one of the most exciting World Series in baseball history. Right now, I'd like to have you meet one of the great players whose sensational relief pitching made World Series history and qualifies him to be New York's favorite son. The fellow who rushes in with a Novocaine when the bases are loaded, Fireman Joe Pays, ladies and gentlemen. That applause is for you, Joe, and I'll bet there are a lot of people sitting at their loudspeakers tonight applauding your great performances of the series.
You think there are people listening?
Oh, you're wondering too, huh? Look, don't throw any curves, Joe. The season's over. You know that, don't you? And I bet you're happy about it, too. Pitching in those games must be a terrific strain.
It is, Bob. There's a lot of tension, and you want to make every minute count. Did you ever feel that way?
Yeah, when I was making the pale face with Jane Russell. Well, what are your plans now, Joe?
Well, the first thing I want to do is rest up a bit. You know, I'm tired.
Yeah, I know what you mean. The series has taken so much out of me, too.
Out of you?
Sure, don't forget, you were only out in the field. I was up in the bleachers with the Dodgers fans. Dodger fan, that's an atomic bomb with a Brooklyn accent. What fans over there? An argument came up at home plate. I was drinking a Coke and the guy next to me threw the bottle.
So?
Hmm?
So?
I was still holding on to it. So, he says. Where are you going on your vacation, Joe?
Oh, there's a little lake up in the High Sierras. I go up there hunting, put my decoys out, and just keep shooting away.
Yeah, well, how many ducks do you get?
Oh, there's no ducks around there, Bob. I just shoot at the decoys.
Well, why do you like to shoot at decoys?
Well, because from a distance, they look like the umpires.
Well, Joe, I'd like to pause here for a moment to introduce a fellow as one of the outstanding athletes of our day, a boy who went from the gridiron to the baseball diamond, whose power batting contributed mightily in helping Brooklyn win the National League pennant. Ladies and gentlemen, the sensational second baseman of the Dodgers, Jackie Robinson, right here. It's a real thrill having you with us tonight.
Well, thank you very much, Bob.
Now, you're not nervous in front of all these people, are you? If you are, just steal a few bases, then we'll start talking.
No, I'm all right, Bob, but tonight's a sad night over there across the river.
Why, what do you mean?
Well, that tree that grows in Brooklyn is now a weeping willow.
And that's, Jackie, I guess that $5,000 you got as a player's share will come in pretty handy, won't it?
$5,000? Is that what we got, Bob?
Jack, you mean you don't know how much you got? How come?
Oh, Mrs. Robinson's been sitting on it since Sunday night.
Your wife grabs the money that fast, Jackie?
Bob, she grabs that money faster than I can say Jack Robinson, and that's my name.
But Jackie, I'm sure all of us would like to know. Tell us, how do you feel out there in the field in a close game with 70,000 pairs of eyes watching you?
Well, we get pretty nervous, Bob. You know, we're always afraid of dropping one.
Yeah, I feel the same way every Tuesday night. I have to be careful. They make them clean them up here till they make them... Jackie, you've met Joe Page here.
Yeah, too many times in this series. How you doing, Joe?
Well, don't say it like that. There'll be other years, you know. Hiya, Joe. He sounds like Tito talking to Stalin.
You played a great series, Jackie. Yes, sir, you really made time around those bases. Tell me, how do you keep in such good shape?
Oh, I usually do about 10 miles of road work every day.
Well, personally, I start out with 3 hours of calisthenics every morning.
And then I go over to the gym and box 20 rounds.
Well, I prefer a couple hours of weightlifting with 300-pound weights.
Anyone for ping pong? But you know, it's a wonderful having you fellas with me tonight. The three of us, all great baseball players.
The three of us, Bob? Who'd you ever play with?
Who'd I play with? For 4 years, I was letterman on Vassar.
But, Bob, Vassar's a girls' school. How could you play on their baseball team?
I used to take my showers at home. I'll never forget the big game. Vassar versus Smith versus Wellesley.
How could three teams play in one game?
Oh, what a girl's know.
Well, come to think of it, Bob. You are built pretty well. You could be a ball player.
Oh, I thought you'd notice it sooner or later. Thank you.
Sure, Bob. You could stand on first base and your stomach could steal over to second.
Now, wait a minute.
And on the way over, you could trip the shortstop of your nose.
Now, has Casey Stengel been writing your material, boy? Well, I'll tell you, fellas, I'll stick to my racket and you stick to yours. And believe me, your two clubs put on a display of great baseball and fine sportsmanship that was a tribute to the game.
Thanks, Bob, and we feel that whether you're in the game or not...
There's no business like baseball business, like no business we know. Whether you are short or tall and lanky, it doesn't really matter where you're from.
You've always got a chance to be a Yankee,
or you can wind up a bum.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, fellas, I'd like to know one thing. What is that you're doing there?
Well, Bob, we're singing.
Now, you may be singing, but your tonsils are still on the bench.
Yes, sir, there's no people like baseball people.
But wait, that isn't all. The day you start a training camp, you're in a whirl.
Can't drink or smoke, you can't kiss a girl.
I'd only wish a thing like that on Milton Berle.
Play ball, brother, play ball. There's no series like World Series, like no series we know.
I'm proud to say that I played for the Yankees.
I tried to bring the Brooklyn Dodgers fame. I spent 4 years at Bellevue Subnormal. And then sold hot dogs at the game. With lots of mustard, everybody hey, knows that you're a hey, hey, hey.
Everybody.
Hey, yes, Jack.
Tell me, what was that?
That was singing. What's the matter? Don't you like my voice?
You sound like Kirsten Flagstead at half-mast.
I love that. That's better than the way it's written.
You threw me, boy. Where do we go now?
Oh, yes, at half mast.
Get in quick, fellas.
There's no series like the World Series.
But wait, that isn't all. You make an error and the crowd thinks you're a dope.
You claim you're safe, but the ump says nope.
Be glad that they don't pay you off in bars of soap.
Play ball, brother, play ball. We don't mean checkers. Play ball, brother, play ball.
All thanks for the memory of our World Series games, the democracy acclaims of Joe DiMaggio and Jackie Robb, of all great baseball names. We thank you so much. Who wrote this, Cole Hope?
Ladies and gentlemen, October the 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th, we're going up Canada way. Going up to Toronto, Montreal, Guelph, Ontario, and Windsor, Canada. Going to be there 12th, 13th, 14th. Looking forward to that trip because a lot of friends up there. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank, just so a big bouquet of thanks, little old Manhattan, the town here with the king-size buildings and the king-size baseball teams. Believe me, there's no bigger thrill than coming to the big town for the World Series. And I'd like to say that New York may be big, but that baseball is bigger. Baseball is the number one game of the nation, where every kid has a chance to grow up and be president or play center field for the Yankees or second base for the Dodgers. Yes, sir, baseball is American as America's first pennant, the one that Betsy Ross made. And a word about the community chest. You know that chest is like baseball, too. It takes crippled youngsters with two strikes on them and sees that they draw a walk. And when you're in trouble, it sends in a pinch hitter. 365 days a year, it's in there pitching. So let's see that the community chest, like the Yankees and the Dodgers, have a big season.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Send your Swan wrappers to care, Boston 1, Massachusetts. For every two wrappers sent in, a regular-sized cake of Swan soap will go overseas to some needy kid.
Are you that girl everyone's raving about?
She found her own rave number on the dial-a-wave chart. Now she's my number one rave. She's my sweet, sweetheart.
Rave and only Rave Home Permanent brings you the easy-to-use dial-a-wave chart to end guesswork in home waving. A flick of your finger and there's your rave number, your personal guide to the perfect wave for your kind of hair. So fast, yet so sure, Rave Home Permanent gives you exactly the amount of curl you want long-lasting yet more natural from the very first day.
Lever Brothers, makers of Swan, have brought you the Bob Hope Show, transcribed from New York City.
Coming up are America's favorites, Fibber McGee and Molly on NBC.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.